Let's answer some Hey Joe questions.
Joe cracked the door.
All right, first up, kicking it off, Miranda the Boss Cat. Hey Joe, what's a cat got to do to get the human to upgrade the brand?
So somebody's cat's Twitter account tweeted at us after we posted a video of us eating some elevated cat food. Look, if you're a cat and you don't like the food, you know what you do. You just don't eat it. And then you freak the human out. And then they start to wonder what's going on. And then the vet will tell you, well, they just don't like the shape of the food. And then you have to go and buy some different food. Oh, you think I'm kidding? I am not. This is actually something that I've had to do. My big chungus of a cat, Roy, may he rest in peace. He was very particular about the shape of dry food he would eat.
Did he also care about where it was in the bowl? Because no. Mine, I have to trick her and like shake it up, because if it's too old, she's like, nah, girl.
Well, no, he wouldn't eat old food. Like, if it had been sitting there in the bowl, he wanted fresh.
All day,
he wanted
yes.
fresh kibble.
Yep.
But it had to be a particular shape of kibble. Otherwise, he would not eat it. Yes, cats are that finicky. So, yeah, if you're a cat and you want your human to elevate the food, just start snubbing it. Your owner will freak out, and then they'll go buy the expensive stuff. It's best I can tell you. See, dogs never do this, do they, Joe?
No. They have a routine.
Dogs will just eat whatever?
Yeah, I mean.
Yes.
Well, that's
not true. As long
as
you're there. Like, if you go out of town and you try to feed someone else's dog, like, that's when they might protest a little bit.
So hold on a second. I take that back, because my in-laws have a Norwegian elk hound, and he's very particular about fresh chicken and beef and things like that. You can actually buy that refrigerated stuff at the store now. It actually comes like real legit food.
For the dog.
For the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dog.
My dad used to have to make fresh chicken breast for their pit bull, George.
Next up.
This one from Steve. Hey, Joe, how did the Wolves look at practice today?
They look good.
All right.
Old. They look old. So many familiar faces on NC State's football roster right now. Hey. You showed up for the last 10 minutes. You were there for the best part. We got a shout out from Devin Leary as he ran by. He was excited to see us.
I don't think he was excited to see us. I think he was just being nice.
No, he was excited. There's a difference.
Okay.
Right. I know the difference between people who tolerate me and who are excited.
All right, that's
genuinely
a fair.
Genuinely excited to see me. Like Dave Doran came over, spent about 2-3 minutes with me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good one for him. I was ready for him today.
Okay.
Because Clemson has now a robot that will line the fields. And I remember 10 years ago when Dave Doran was hired, he mentioned one of his first jobs as a coach, he had to line the fields.
That's right.
And I said, man, there's something to lining your own field, especially with the chalk. And you can't be letting a robot out there line the fields. What is this world coming to?
They're taking our jobs.
Damn, man. So we talked about robots and lining fields.
It's a good thing I wasn't there for that conversation, because then I would have told Doran my theory as to how it's all going to end for the human race, thanks to Boston Dynamics.
Right.
They
open the door now. So,
yeah. The people who make that robot dog, and like they do all these things to show you how the robot dog, it can take a bat to the face. You could light it on fire. You know the robot's going to remember all that stuff, and they're going to see this footage, and they're going to go, humans bad, and they're going to kill us all, right?
Correct.
Okay, I just want to make y'all understand that.
Yeah.
That The Matrix is a documentary. I'm just pointing that out.
But as for actually like who looked good, because you get a chance to actually see practice for 35 minutes. Savion Jackson has added good weight, I think.
Okay.
But I'm not sure about 290. They're listing him at 290. We'll see how that goes. Defensive end. Obviously much ballyhooed coming out of high school. Still kind of waiting for him to produce. And then the other guy I wanted to see was MJ Morris, because these are the chances you actually get to see a young player, freshman, quarterback, supposed to be the next quarterback. Looks good. Mm-hmm. Not the biggest dude in the history of the world. Sometimes, you know, that can tip you off. But obviously, Russell Wilson wasn't either. But we actually had a chance to see Elliot Avent, who was giving us a little bit of a scouting report on MJ Morris. So it was good to do.
Next up.
All right, this one from Jonathan. Hey, Joe, your thoughts on Campbell moving to the CAA from the Big South?
Football will guide everything. Okay. I mean, you see what's happening at the Power Five level, which has been reduced to really two mega conferences, and then the ACC's sandwiched somewhere in between them and the Group of Five, right? In a weird nebulous space. But Campbell has put a concerted effort into their football program. Okay.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the Big South is just not aligned with them in terms of where their football program's trying to be, and the CAA comes into play for that. I'm okay with that. In fact, if you wanted to kind of go galaxy brain on this, I do think
CAA is big time in football.
Big time
at
football.
That level.
At yes,
the FCS
at
level.
That level, yeah. it's a big time thing.
Delaware, Elon, JMU, yep. William & Mary, all great programs.
So as Campbell's trying to elevate its program and jump to that next level, the CAA makes a lot of sense for them. But this is
hoops, yeah.
But hoops is a different matter.
No, they've made the show. I mean,
yeah, hoops is a different matter. Hoops is a different matter, right? You can't spell NCAA without the CAA, though, Joe.
No, you can't.
Now, this actually, if you wanted to go galaxy brain, I'm okay.
I thought you could say you can't spell NCAA without Campbell, and I'm like,
actually, you can. Plenty,
missing another A, but that's okay.
Plenty of time. I'm okay where if we're headed in the direction of football-only conferences.
Well, we already should be there. That's what the pandemic should have gotten us to.
That's where we should be.
And but you know how slow these schools are to react.
So it should be in a football-only playing conference, and that would allow for other sports to be more regionally focused and a better product for basketball. The NCAA tournament is not going to go anywhere, but you can make the product better if it goes back to a much more regionally focused. Yeah. Are you telling me that ACC basketball, everything old is new again, right? Vinyl's hot. Heck. Our boss sent us a story today where apparently cassette sales surpass CD sales because what's old is new. Wake me up when 8-tracks see a resurgence or reel to reel. But the point is, going back will rekindle interest. And if you were to present to basketball fans or in general basketball, just sports fans in general, a true round robin in hoops again, don't you think people would be excited about that?
No doubt.
But we'd have to unmoor ourselves from how we have conferences currently constructed. But specifically to Campbell and what they're kind of doing here, it makes total sense that they're trying to move up given how they've put a focus on football. Next up.
This one from Alex. Hey, Joe, top yard sale items for this weekend. Ooh.
Boxes of vinyl. That's always the top yard sale item.
That you're looking for or that you're looking to sell?
No, it was what I'm always looking for.
Oh, okay.
If I see a yard sale, I'm always looking to see if they've got a box of vinyl or cassette tapes. Or, third on the list, video games. It's like, I think our guy, Chris, found a box of Sega Genesis games. Just a whole lot of them. And I'm thinking to myself, I could do something with that. Hopefully there's some old EA sports games in there. That would be fun. So yeah, top of the list is vinyl. Then we go to video games on my yard sale list items. Next up.
Oh, no, Joe.
This one from Nina. Hey, Joe, does NC State want to play the UConn women in the NCAA tournament this year?
First of all, I completely underestimated or forgot that NC State fans can be slightly aggressive online.
It's just a smidge.
So when we saw Nina King at the ACC kickoff, she was telling us a story about some of her interactions with NC State fans. And I was like, oh, that's right. You were on the selection. Oh, you're the one. Yeah, oh, you got blamed. That. So context, and the NC State was the number one seed, but they ended up playing UConn in Bridgeport, which was a home game for UConn, which was the number two seed. UConn's best player, Paige Buchers, scored 27 points in that game, was truly the difference in a game that was decided by 4 points in double overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Buchers, unfortunately today, UConn announced that she tore the ACL in her left knee and will miss the entire season. So if you're a competitor at NC State, you want another shot at UConn, but you want Buchers.
You want her.
Because she's the one who knocked you out of the tournament. So I actually do hate it for UConn, but I actually would love to see NC State get another shot at UConn.
This is, look, stinks for her. Stinks for women's college basketball, period.
Yeah.
Because
she's a different type of player. Really, she's a Steph Curry type player.
Yes. And what we do know about how things in college, as we talked about kind of bringing people back, women's college basketball, one of the points that we were making last year related to NC State women, if you miss college basketball, you should watch the women's
game. Yeah, the way it
used to be. Yep. You should watch the women's game, straight up. You get to know the players. They're around for 3 to 4 years. The games are fun and exciting. There's a familiarity with it. And you get invested in the product again. I mean, why do you think State fans felt it deep with the women's college basketball team ending the way that it ended against UConn. So Bukers comes along, and obviously she had her game against the Wolfpack last year, but she is a star. I really don't know how else to put it. An absolute star.
A pure stroke.
And a reason, too, if you're flipping through on a random night on a college basketball night and UConn winner on, you go, all right, I want to see what Bukers does tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's as simple as that. I really don't know how else to put it. It sucks for her, but it does suck for the overall product of women's college basketball, which has seen incredible gains in the last couple of years. Next up.
This one from Zach. Hey, Joe, top three small talk topics that are your go-to.
Okay. Well, all right. You know, confession time.
He asked the wrong person? I'm interested to see where this goes. Let's see how honest.
Gather around.
Joe wants to be here.
Gather around. I'm not a small talk person.
No.
You know this about me.
Weird.
You know this about me. I talk for a living, so the last thing I want to do sometimes is talk some more, right? It's just the way I'm built, man. It's the way I'm built. However, if I'm struggling for small talk,
right,
I do have an in. I simply do the, oh, so what do you do for a living? Mm-hmm. Right, just to see what, you know, just a general open conversation. Because I know they're going to ask, well, what do you do? And that's when I can explain, oh, I work in radio. And then the conversation gets going. And I can kill a couple of minutes just having small talk about that or sports or whatever it is. And then move on to the next thing.
I prefer, where are you in real life? Where are you from in real life?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a go-to for me. Where are you from in real life?
That is a good one.
And also, yeah, what do you do to make a living?
Yeah, that's always an easy one.
Yeah. What do you do to keep the lights on is what I usually say.
Oh, okay. I like that. I like that. But see, you're the small talk king. I'm not.
I am. Yes.
You always have something ready to go to get it going.
Well, you got
to
think about these things, too.
You do. I don't.
Plan. Like, I was planning ahead about lining the field with Dave Doran this morning.
I don't. I'm terrible about that. Like, Vin Scully passed away yesterday at age 94. One of the recurring themes you'll see in relation to Vin Scully is that everybody's got a Vin Scully story. If you've come across him, or maybe even in cases that you haven't come across him, he might have entered your life in some form or fashion. We'll talk to Wes Durham about this in a few, because Vin Scully sent his dad, Woody Durham, a note after Woody Durham retired. They never met, but he knew of Woody because, you know, Woody was really good at what he did, and play-by-play guys seemed to know each other, and he sent him the note. So that's a personal Vin Scully story. Ray Rotto wrote about this on Defector today, saying he's like, yeah, you know, I went to his last broadcast, you know, against the Dodgers and the Giants, and I, you know, said hello to him, and I think Vin Scully basically closed the conversation and was like, oh, you know, thank you for dropping by and having a few minutes with me or whatever it is. And Rotto's just saying, like, that's just something people say to be nice, but when he said it, he really meant it, not like in a weird passive-aggressive way. That's Vin Scully. I don't have that skill. You have that skill. I certainly don't have that skill. Next up.
This one from Brian. Hey, Joe, assuming they can raise the cash to buy out Ricciardo, who gets the McLaurin seat, Piastri or Paolo?
What, huh?
Is this
an F1 question? This is an F1 question, isn't it?
Yes.
Do people actually like F1, or is it the new trendy thing to say that you like F1 to show that you are somehow, some shape or form, a more intellectual sports fan? I feel like F1 has taken the place of
Premier League
in terms of, you see, you you silly American, you are wasting your time with that football? No, not me. I'm going to show you just how elevated I am as a fan. I'm going to get super into F1. Is that where we are right now with F1? To just show how sophisticated you are as a sports fan?
I know it's a Netflix show.
Yeah.
I know your dad went to the one in Miami. I know, like, the locales are, like, unbelievable.
Yes.
And to your point, it's hot right now.
It's so hot right
now. But I've, unfortunately, I am from New Jersey, and I've just never gotten into any form of auto racing. I can't wrap my brain around it. I tried in the pandemic.
Yeah.
I was betting on NASCAR a little bit.
When all we had was NASCAR, it, like, rekindled my
interest
in NASCAR.
And then there was an accident with, like, four laps left, and my guy who was winning the whole race lost. I was like, yeah, no, guys, I can't do this anymore.
So, all right, all jokes aside when it comes to F1, I'm being half serious with the let me show you how cool I am by talking about F1. Because, like, I know my guy Brian is super into auto racing, so not a surprise. I know he's being serious. My dad went to the race in Miami. he spent an incredible amount of money to take that event in. And I watched the event on ESPN ABC when it broadcast.
Now, are these races shorter than a NASCAR race?
So here's where I think F1 really has kind of unlocked something. I'm being completely serious here. The first one is they unlocked the reality show aspect of it. Drive to Survive, which is on Netflix. I forgot what season they're on right now. But it does an incredible job of getting you to buy into the drama behind the scenes, right? Some sports like to act as though the drama behind the scenes isn't why you care. You want the product itself. Except, look at the NFL, where every day there's a drama. Look at the NBA, every day there's a drama. But they try to act above it. Like, no. The actual event is the thing. Yeah, you're rolling your eyes because you know I'm right.
Yeah.
You know I'm right. So F1 says, nah, forget that. We're leaning into the fact that the drama, the storylines, the characters are the reason why you're going to watch
this.
There's
some nationalism in there, too.
And the races themselves are just, the races themselves are a creative tool to push the story forward, not the event you're trying to watch.
It's probably also subconsciously tapping into a generation that watched Cars.
Right? There is that, too.
That's now grown up and like, oh, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the CGI element of it, because that's the other thing that F1's really good at. Once you get to the actual races, the way it's presented is like how somebody would watch a Twitch stream. They bombard you with data.
Okay.
They've got boxes and boxes. They're showing you, like, the amount of footage they show you, both the team itself, the driver, what the cars are doing, all those things is overwhelming yet compelling when you actually watch the race, all right? And then there's the third part to F1 that really seems to have captured people. Unlike NASCAR, which mastered the art of being of the people, even though the drivers are massively rich and don't actually relate to you in any way in their current day life. Like, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is a prime example of this, right? Dale Earnhardt Jr. is rich beyond his wildest dreams as a successful NASCAR driver. Yet Dale Earnhardt Jr. is a dude that if you and I went to Mitch's Tavern and Dale Jr. was hanging out at the bar, we could chop it up with him.
Sure.
Right? Like, it would be no big deal. Like, he's like a man of the people. Got it? That's NASCAR's thing. F1, man, they live a life that you'll never understand.
Right.
And there's like this exotic, rich draw. It's like watching Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Or Dynasty.
It's like watching one of those soap operas. And it's in no way, shape, or form relatable to your everyday life. And you're like blinded by the glitz. It's so rich. There's so much money that you're kind of just taken aback by it and then drawn into the drama. So that's where F1, I see the appeal of F1. I was just kind of kidding about the whole, it's a new fun thing to prove how cool you are.
There's a whole nother category, too, when it comes to cars. Drifting.
Oh, yeah, geez. Yes. Yeah, I forgot about the drifting aspect. Mm-hmm. All right, I think we got time for one more.
All right. This one from Joe G. Hey, Joe, is it a coincidence that today is both National Watermelon Day and National Boob Day?
So hold up. You're telling me it's Melon Day and Boob Day.
This is according to the Twitters. I'm just reporting what I saw on my timeline this morning. Went through my normal routine.
Uh-huh.
Opened up the Twitters, you know, go through my own timeline, what people are tweeting at me. Then I go to, you know, the little magnifying glass, and it was mm-hmm. trending. And I go, oh, that's the girl from Euphoria. Oh, whoa. That is really the girl from Euphoria. Wow. What is happening on the sanctity of my Twitter timeline right now? I had no idea. But then it was up to Victoria to tell me that it's also National Watermelon Day. And I was like, it seems like an awfully odd coincidence.
There's various forms of Boob Day,
right?
Too. So we had to. I had to go back and look that up.
I'd be careful.
Yeah,
just saying.
You know what? I'll do this on the LTE.
Good call.
I'll do it on the 5G. I'm not going to do it on. I'm going to do it on the company Wi-Fi. It's the OG alongside Joe Ovias. I'm Joe.
See, you're discombobulated.
You know
he got
what?
You all you got, tangled
I'm
up
all,
now.
I'm yep. all just thinking melons and
yep.
Anyway, Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Ovies. Victoria's producer.
You could
today.
Have said alongside this boob.
I'm Joe Ovies. Maybe that's what they meant by National Boob Day.
There you go.
Yeah, how many times can we say boob in like the last 2 minutes?
Open to interpretation.